Well, we're turning this evening to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings in the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, Not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods. But put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us! But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey. Or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God! And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again, 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, Say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Amen. We thank the Lord for this reading of his word. Let's bow and ask the Lord's help as we consider it together. Our eternal God, we come before thee again. We thank thee for the word and the record which is given to us, and we thank thee for its conciseness. Lord, we realize there are many things to be found here, but as we look at just one aim at the end of this message tonight, we pray that thou wouldst help us to follow through and to understand what things are being said. We pray, Lord, that you'd encourage us also for the days which lie ahead, knowing, Lord, that thou art sovereign in the heavens, and all of thy purposes will be fulfilled, whatsoever men may say, whatsoever men may do. And we thank thee, Father, that you are able to save souls. And we pray, Lord, that by your Spirit you would work in the hearts of each one, that we might be able to say with all confession and with all conviction, the Lord, he is the God. Lord, we pray then that thou wouldst continue with us now. Help me as I speak, and we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst sanctify our hearts to approach thy throne, that we may call upon thee at the end of this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to work towards the 44th verse of this chapter, and it is where we read, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. When we consider that little cloud arising out of the sea, it was to signify something which was about to come. Some have said that it was a little cloud, and perhaps then the man's hand referenced the fact of its size. Personally, I don't think that that is what it is. It would be difficult to tell the size of a cloud coming up out of the sea. I think that perhaps it looked like the fingers of a man's hand which were coming up. It wouldn't be the only time, of course. In the days of Belshazzar, the finger was seen as it wrote upon the wall, and the writing on the wall, as everybody has heard of, but perhaps don't know where it comes from. But we know that the finger of the Lord was seen on that occasion too. But I want to lead to that point and end with it. So first of all, just an explanation of the story to any who may not know it. And that is that there appears a man. He seems to come from nowhere. At the beginning of chapter 17, he is introduced simply as Elisha the Tishbite, who was one of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. There is no introduction. We don't know who he was. We don't know what his parentage was. We don't know of what tribe he came. We don't know very much about him at all, except that he was one of the greatest of the prophets. And he is referenced in the New Testament. And he is still waited for today by the Jews, Elijah, who is to come. And the Lord Jesus also makes reference to that expectation when he speaks of John the Baptist, and he says, if you can hear it, that John the Baptist is Elijah who was for to come. So here is this strange man who arises and goes into Ahab, a king of Israel, a wicked man, a man who rebuilt Jericho, and we read in the 16th chapter just before that he put the foundations down thereof in Abiram his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun. And Ahab was this man. So Elijah comes and he says to Ahab, it's not going to rain. There again in verse 1 of chapter 17, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. It was 3.5 years that there was no rain. Elijah left, and the Lord directed him, first of all, to the brook, Kerith, and then also to Zarephath, and he was kept there. And then he comes back and he meets with Obadiah, who was a man who had protected some of the prophets of the Lord. We read of that in chapter 18 and verse 7. And Obadiah is sent to Ahab, and Ahab comes and meets Elijah. And that's what sets up what we read here tonight concerning the competition, if I might use that term, to set before the people who the Lord was. And these things are quite well known, I think, even for those who don't particularly know the scriptures. So I want to see three things, and time is short, so we'll work through them as quickly as I can here. First of all, I want to see with you this national challenge. And of course, that is something which we have at the moment. Not just a national challenge, but an international challenge, but certainly a national challenge. Secondly, the noble champion. That would be Elijah, and we'll develop that a little. And then the nebulous confirmation. Nebulous, of course, referring to the cloud, because a nebula is something which is cloud, is a cloud. Even a nebula in the sky is spoken of as something which is cloudy in this, amongst the stars. A national challenge. When we think about the national challenge, well, we have a national challenge at the moment with COVID, and certainly we have been challenged in lots of ways by it. Some people with the disease itself, some by the separation that we have from each other. Some people have kept themselves to themselves. They haven't seen family or friends, and it certainly has a great effect upon people's minds. And it is dangerous. We know that many people have died, some 70,000 people, we are told. Some of those, we realize, had underlying health conditions, the majority of them, so we are informed. But nevertheless, this is the thing which has finished them off. And people are fearful. In fact, reading the newspapers and seeing the news on TV and listening to it on the radio, it is there really to make us fearful, so that we might be more careful in the way that we go. A national challenge. But how came this national challenge? The national challenge in the scripture, of course, was that there was a famine. And Elijah came and told Ahab there would be no rain upon the earth for until he spoke again. And that was the national challenge. But how came this national challenge? And can we liken it to what we're going through now? Well, the national challenge in the scriptures here was because the people had forgotten God. Elijah later on says that he was left of all of the servants of the Lord. And the Lord had to correct him and said, no, there are others. There are yet 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. But Elijah felt that he was the only one who would stand for the Lord in that day. He was alone. But why was that? Well, because there was a national complacency. And we see that in this country. This country has been blessed greatly through the gospel, through the Reformation, through the study of the Word of God, which was given to us in those days of the Reformation, that people might read it for themselves, that many people could come and study the Word of God, hide it within their hearts, what we were told to do with the Scriptures. It was no longer hidden in the library of the priest. And in those days, of course, many a priest couldn't read anyway, and so we wouldn't know what the Scriptures said, even if they were asked. But we have this great revelation. But we have that still today, a national complacency, because we have a blessed momentum. Because of Christianity, because of the blessings of the past, the morality of this country, the ethics of this country, continue on in a similar way. And people still desire to have animal welfare in their sight, and care for children, and care for workers, and so on. All of these things arose out of the equality which was taught from the scriptures. But the scriptures have been forgotten, God has been forgotten, but the ethics and the morality of the scriptures, it kind of staggers onward because it has that momentum behind it. And they were the same. And they thought that the nation was safe and that they would be fine because of the blessings of the past. But there were few who actually sought the Lord. There was a blasé misapprehension that God was with them. And even though they were seeking Baal, they would seek Baal and Jehovah. Or they would kind of bring those two together and have a mixture of Baal worship and Jehovah worship and think them to be equal. And of course, here it is made plain by this which Elijah brings to their attention, that they weren't the same thing at all. So there's this national complacency, and I think that we need to be aware of the national complacency in this country in these days. That people think because we have freedoms that we don't need God. But they will soon run out. And it has always been so. That's what happened in the scriptures. That power, that blessing, it has a momentum of its own. But if we don't maintain the consistency with the Lord and in prayer before the Lord, then that momentum will stop. Just like if you are cycling a bike, you can stop pedaling. And the momentum will carry you on down the road. And if you're going downhill, it'll take you even further. But if you continue to stop pedaling, eventually you'll stop. And that is what will happen in this nation too. So this national challenge, first of all, was their complacency. And secondly, this natural catastrophe. And the national catastrophe was that there was no rain. It's not quite the same as what we're suffering at the moment. But the effect was the same, because if you don't have food, you die. And we know that Elijah went down to the widow of Zarephath, and there she was about to cook the last of her meal and her oil, and then she said she was going to die. But God sustained her and kept her and kept Elijah also with her. There was a blight upon the land. And it was to bring people's attention to the fact that mankind by himself is subject to destruction. And what can we do? What is the defense really against a virus? Well, we can defend somewhat by covering our faces, putting on masks, being careful where we go. But in actual fact, we can't see a virus. We can't fight against it in that sense. And though there may be some way of defending our bodies from it by taking vaccines and the like, yet we hear that the World Health Organization have said, well, there's worse in the pipeline. There'll be other things coming along behind this. Well, we don't know if that's true or not. But nevertheless, when it first came, nobody was aware of it. It was already established before we were even aware it was here. A national catastrophe. And then we see also, when this national catastrophe came upon them, that the blame was laid somewhere else. It was never the people's fault. It was never Ahab's fault. In chapter 18 here, and in verse 17, Ahab meets Elijah, and he says to Elijah, "It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Elijah answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baalim. But Elijah is the one that's blamed. He doesn't even blame God. Well, he can't blame God, can he? You can't blame God if you say you don't believe in God. And we're not hearing people blaming God. Occasionally we hear people saying that it's an answer to prayer that we have a vaccine. But you can't really blame God if you say, I'm an atheist. But they will blame someone. And the blame will never be upon themselves. We will always be innocent, whatever happens. But if this catastrophe has come upon us to bring us to our senses, that we might seek the God who is sovereign over all things, then let's come to our senses. We see then this noble champion. Well, the champion is Elijah, and Elijah, it seems to me, is very much like Melchizedek, who is spoken of in the book of Hebrews. There we read in Hebrews 7 of Melchizedek, not of Elijah, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. That's Melchizedek. But there are many things which apply also to Elijah. Because for him also, without father, we don't know who that was. Without mother, we don't know who that was. Without descent, we don't know where he comes from. He has neither beginning of days, because we know nothing about his infancy or anything about him whatsoever. And nor end of life, because Elijah was taken up in a chariot, a fiery chariot, into heaven. And so, did he die? Did he not die? We don't really know. And we also know that when the Lord Jesus was transfigured upon the Mount of Transfiguration, there was to be found with him Moses and Elijah. So he's a strange character, isn't he, in the scripture? And this is the character who stands. But let's be careful, because we can look back in history and we can think to ourselves, well, what we need is someone like that today. We need a Martin Luther. We need a John Calvin. We need an Augustine who will stand for the people and preach the word. But do we need that? Are we not then looking again to man and not to God? Our noble champion is not someone who is about to arise and save the day. There's an old saying, cometh the hour, cometh the man. I was interested to find the origin of the phrase as it is thought, because nobody actually knows who first said this. But it's thought to have come from John 4 and verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is. And the English proverb, which was opportunity makes the man, or originally in the 14th century, opportunity makes the thief. Cometh the hour, cometh the man. But let's consider that for a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ, John 4:23, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Are we looking for a man who will deliver us? Well then, let us look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the man who will deliver us. He is the man. He is the proper man, the Christ. Remember how that he stood before Pilate. And then came before Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold, the man. Behold, the man. It is Christ. We're not looking for someone in this world to lead us. We are to look to Jesus Christ. And we come finally then to the nebulous confirmation, which is where you want to go to. Here is this little cloud, and Elijah goes again to pray. It's a prayer of fervency, as we read from James there. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So here we see this prayer of fervency. And it's the Lord that we need to seek. It is the Lord who is the man. It is the Lord who is the Son of Man. It is the Lord who is able to deliver us. We're not looking for someone in this world to lead us to Christ, because Christ is the only mediator between us and God. Therefore, who we're looking for is Jesus Christ himself. And we can do that. Immediately. Immediate meaning nothing mediate, nothing in between. Immediately we can speak to the Lord concerning these things. And so Elijah puts his head between his knees and he prays. And he prays with fervency that the Lord would send the blessing of rain, that the Lord would send the showers of blessing. And here we have then this prevailing faithfulness. We come finally to this verse, which we have led up to in verse 44. It came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. A little cloud like a man's hand. Makes me think, how did Elijah pray? Did he say, Lord, stretch forth thy hand upon this world. Stretch forth thy hand upon Israel. And as the cloud arose out of the sea, it just looked like a hand. And as he hears that report from his servant, he knows that the blessing is coming. We look for the blessing of the Lord. And we need to be in prayer, as Elijah was, that we might call upon him. In Acts 11 and verse 21 we read, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. The hand of the Lord was with them. Is the Lord's hand with us today? Can we call upon his name as we go into this new year? can we say to the Lord, Lord, make bare thy holy arm. Send a revival. Send an awakening. Turn this sleeping people, this complacent people, back to the Lord our God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks that we are able this night to come before thee. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst hear us. And as we enter into these last few minutes of the old year, we would come with that very prayer, Lord, that thou wouldst make bare thy holy arm, that thou wouldst stretch forth thy hand upon us. We realize, Lord, that so often in the scripture where the words stretching forth the hand of God are mentioned, it is in judgment. Lord, we confess that thy hand has been stretched upon us in judgment upon the face of the earth. And there is nothing that we can do to stop thee. There may be some relief from this current crisis, but Lord, there could so easily be a crisis from which there is no relief. And what would we do? What would we do? We pray, Father, that we might call upon your name. We pray that we might acknowledge thee as our God and our Creator, as the upholder of all things, as he who is able to deliver us, not just from the material dangers of this world, but from the spiritual dangers of sin and final separation from our God, being cast out into outer darkness. O Lord, we pray that you would work even through the preaching of thy word to cause people to consider their ways. And Lord, we pray that not only would you bring conviction of sin, but that you would bring the solution, which is to say, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is the God, and save me. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst work even now in these last moments of the year to any who might hear this broadcast even live at the moment or might see it later on to consider where they stand before a holy God. For thou art able to take us in a moment, and it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Bless us then, we ask thee, and continue with us as the minute passes, as we come before thee. We pray, our gracious God, that thou hast put thy hand upon us for good, that thou hast blessed this church, that thou hast blessed this town, that thou hast blessed this people, Lord, that we might bow ourselves in humility at thy feet. Hear us, we ask thee, in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.